guys, welcome back to the Bottomless Banter podcast. This is episode 8 and no wait, this is episode 10. This is episode 10 and I am really so excited to have my first podcast collaboration and I am very excited. I'll let you guys introduce yourself. I have with me the Champagne for Breakfast podcast.
Champagne for breakfast is also a valid option.
That's a vibe. Yeah.
I have the beautiful girls with me and I'll just let them introduce themselves.
Hi guys, it's Sayo.
I'm Oke.
And I'm Evelyn.
Can you do you guys' intro?
And a little bit about us. We're the Champagne Breakfast podcast.
Yeah.
Yes. We're three girls. This is, do you know what? We always get stumped when we have to describe ourselves.
Yeah, but literally.
Essentially, so we've been podcasting for, we've had our podcast for about 3 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we just talk about, the best way to describe it is probably like our group chat brought to life, essentially. Yeah. So anything that we talk about amongst ourselves, we bring to the podcast, obviously a bit more censored.
Yeah.
And yeah, we drop every second Wednesday now.
Yeah.
So check us out if
that's
you want.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. For this podcast, I feel like we don't really censor a lot of shit.
Yes, so I can
listen.
Sorry, but I feel like for me, it's because I there's some things that people want to talk about, but like, okay, yeah, a lot of people tend to be very scared to bring up certain conversations, but like, I am trying to make this a place where it's like a safe space.
Yeah.
Mostly because like people don't want to talk about sex. People don't want to talk about any, like you're so scared, but I'm like, this is a safe environment where you can talk about anything and no censoring. It's fine. You know, we are all grown ups, all over 25 or over 18. Hopefully the people who listen over 18. So because these are things that people actually go through and these are things that people want to hear talk about. So I'm like, yeah, why not bring up a podcast that is not censored and people can really say what they want to say, what you think.
I like,
of course, not things that will offend other people, you know, but things that I tend to like think my podcast is navigating through life with humor.
Yeah.
So when you bring stuff up like to talk about, we try and make it humorous and just like make this an environment where people can still talk about what's in their mind. Explicitly, and be themselves fully, you know what I mean? So I feel like that's what my podcast is about. That's why I came up with Bottomless Banter. My intention was to drink while I am see how bottomless brunch. Like it's bottomless, so like the laughter is endless, you know?
Because
the laughter is endless, because I feel like when people are here we just laugh and have a good time. So that was really my intention. But I'll ask you, why did you come up with the name Champagne Breakfast?
Oh my gosh, it's the second time we've been asked this.
Yeah, because I was like, okay.
Recently.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the simple answer is that I saw in a caption of a picture that someone posted, and it was just the girl and she was with her friends. They were having breakfast and they were all like, they were celebrating one of the friends or something for an event, some life thing. And it was like champagne breakfast with the girls. And I was like, I love that. Yeah. Like it just encapsulates just being with your people, drinking, having a good time, drinking, eating, whatever you do when you're with your friends and just having chats, celebrating each other, and just conversation really. So that's where it came from.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So to begin this episode, guys, I wanted to play Would You Rather, just for an icebreaker. Some of them are a bit I'm okay if you guys don't want to talk about anything, it's fine. But I have a few would you rather questions and let's see how we go.
Okay.
So the first question is, would you rather have another 10 years with your partner or a one night stand with your celebrity crush?
Oh, 10 years with my partner.
Yeah, 10 years with my partner.
Really? 10 years, So
who's your celebrity crush?
One worth 10 years with my partner.
Really?
Yeah.
I have many, but my ultimate celebrity crush is Will Smith.
So you gave up one night with Will Smith?
No, I wouldn't. I'll do my partner. But I'm saying my celebrity crush.
No, I think you gave it up. You wouldn't do the one night with Will Smith.
No.
Imagine that one night with Will Smith.
She loves Will Smith.
I love him.
So,
Yeah, you're gonna give that up.
Yeah, for my partner. Oh, you know,
I actually thought you might. But Will Smith, I thought you might.
Come on, it's one night.
Yeah. Do you know what though? If my partner allowed me to.
Yeah.
So what if? Okay, yeah. If my partner.
It's either or.
Okay, yeah. It would be hard. I'm not gonna lie, but I'll take the 10 years.
Mm, yeah.
I don't think there's anyone that I love enough to want to like just be like, okay, one night.
Same.
Except my partner. Yeah. But if I had to pick someone, it'd probably be Michael B.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I would sacrifice.
My celebrity crush already let me down, so I can't even choose him. It used to be Jake Gyllenhaal until he came out that he doesn't shower. So. Now I have none.
All right. Okay, there's this one. Would you rather be chronically underdressed or overdressed?
Overdressed.
Agree. All right. Next one. Just a second.
Chronically underdressed.
That's really bad.
Yeah, that's really, really bad.
It's a wedding.
Would you rather wear sweatpants for the rest of your life, including funerals and weddings, or have to wear sequins to everything?
Oh, that's hard because I don't like
sequins. Sequins are ugly and so tacky. But showing up to a wedding in a tracksuit. But how often are you going to a wedding? I'll do the tracksuit.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, for the rest of my life?
For the rest of your life.
I would do the sequins.
I think so. I think I'll do the sequins as well.
Yeah.
You can find really subtle ones. Like
I think I would be able to get sequins.
Back in the day.
But if you go to a wedding with sweatpants, that's all people are going to be talking about for the rest of like the time you're there. Yeah. But nobody cares of people's opinions, to be honest. So I don't know.
Yeah, but I would care. Like you should have tried a little bit harder.
Yeah, because I would also pass that judgment on someone.
Yeah.
Wear sweatpants?
To a wedding?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
All right, this one's funny. Would you rather sneeze every time you orgasm or orgasm every time you sneeze?
Sneeze every time you orgasm or orgasm every time you sneeze? Sneeze every time I orgasm.
Why? I would rather
Because it would not happen very frequently.
True. Well, but how often?
Like, it wouldn't be awkward. Like
in an inappropriate...
Yeah.
Imagine if you're orgasming, you're at work in a meeting, you sneeze, it's like...
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's more what it is. Like, what if I'm at church and I have to sneeze?
No, I'd rather just. That's funny. All right, I'll do two more. Would you rather be able to speak and understand every language in the world or know how to talk to animals?
Speak and understand every language.
Yeah.
Same, imagine.
All right.
And do what? Like, why do I want to talk to them?
Literally.
I'm going to eat you.
Please don't eat me.
I'm going to eat you.
The last one is a bit juicy.
Okay,
if you guys want to answer it, but it's fine. Would you rather spit or swallow?
Spit.
Really, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spitting is quitting.
Yeah, well, let me quit.
Yeah.
I'm a quitter.
I'll swallow.
You swallow. You are
keep
a trooper.
Going.
You're a soldier.
And then just keep going.
Yeah, but I feel like by the time you, like, you're doing that, like, it's already at the finish line. So I just couldn't. I feel like spitting is quitting. So yeah, I don't know, it's like when you enjoy it, I feel like that's fine
if you're in the moment.
Not every time though. But yeah, that was the Would You Rather segment. I'm glad you guys are able to participate.
Thanks for that. That was fun.
Yeah.
We don't have anything like that planned for you.
It's all right, babes. Don't worry. All right. So the main, like the meat of the podcast today was things I wish my parents taught me. So like, you know, as adults or as we are growing up, some things they're like, oh my God, if I knew this when I was younger, it would be very, very helpful. Like, yeah. So, I just wanted to hear you guys' perspectives or what you guys, think that, oh my God, like, because we're all like a bit older right now, what are the things that you feel like you wish that your parents or your guardians would have told you when you were younger that would have helped you as now you're growing up or as you are aging?
Hmm.
So, Evelyn, do you want to start us off?
Okay, I'll start. I think for me, more so, not with actual words, like things that they've said, I think maybe more with like action. Mm. I think a lot of times, like, a lot of African parents want to show that they're very strong and that like they're not really emotional and stuff like that, which then translates onto their kids.
Yeah.
So I feel like one thing that I wish, like, I guess my parents would have shown me is that it's okay to be very vulnerable.
Yeah.
It's okay to cry. It's okay to be all those things. Like, because I guess now as I'm growing up, I think of those things as weaknesses.
True.
When it should be actually like, it's part of life. Yeah. We all experience all different types of emotions.
Yeah.
And it's okay. Like, you're not weak because you're upset, or you're not weak because you're crying.
I never thought of that. Yeah.
Yeah. I just think, obviously, I feel like as well, African parents want to show that we've got it all together and they've gone through so much hardships and everything, especially like coming to Australia, doing everything that they've done. So they want to show that we've done it. We're tough. We can get through it.
Yeah.
And I think it then, goes on to their kids and the kids don't know how to, I guess, take in those emotions when they do happen because they're just like, I've never seen it before, really, you know? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's really good.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
I would say one thing that this is more like something that I want to take into my parenting. Mm. And it's the way that I choose to discipline my children. I definitely think, you know, growing up, although I never feared my parents because I was smacked as a child, that definitely, I think, created a situation. It created fear in doing the wrong thing because I was scared that I was going to get hit, or I was scared I was going to get punished in a certain way.
Yeah.
And so instead of creating an environment where I felt like, okay, if I go to my parents and I say, look, I've done something and we can maybe have a conversation about it, or they can take the time or create space to actually figure out what the root of this issue is, instead of resorting to violence, I feel like that would help me, or would have helped me as I grow, to not fear making mistakes. Because I know for me, I'm very much somebody who, like, I want to get things right all the time, and I don't like the feeling of making a mistake or stuffing up. And a lot of that stems from, I've got to do the right thing. Otherwise, like, the consequence of that is getting in trouble, and I don't want to do that. So, I would have loved for my parents to create more of an environment where it's like, let's pause and actually, like, talk more rather than, like, I'm just going to hit you, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree with you with that, because for me, my dad is a military dad.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I don't know. There's a difference between fear, and there's a difference between fear and respect.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. So, like, I feel like back home, I think I spoke about this in my other episode. Back home, I was very scared of my dad rather than respected him. Mm-hmm. I feel like right now I respect him. I don't fear him.
Yeah.
But when I was home, I used to fear him because like there's always a consequence for something that you did. And then like because he's a perfectionist. Mm. Like everything has to be crisp. Everything has to be okay. So like even I wouldn't be able to stay in the same room as him. Like when he came from work, I go upstairs or I go to my room. Like I wouldn't be able to stay in the same room as him because, you know, you're like, if I stay here, problems, like just problems. He'll see the smallest thing. And like there's a day I was walking and I don't know, like I like scrunched my slipper and like he was like, that's why all your slippers break all the time. And I was like, okay, you know, like, it's not something that's very major, but it was like causing a lot of, and I understand, I agree with you where like, even me, like when eventually, inshallah, I get kids, I want to be able to create an environment where they don't fear me, but they respect me, but not fear me, because it makes me feel like, I never used to, like, I was just like, oh my God, like, you know, like he's just, I don't want to be around him. But I feel like that has changed over time.
Yeah.
But because I understand even him, like parents sometimes like when we are younger, we don't understand that they're also human beings.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Their own traumas and stuff.
Yeah.
So I used to think my parents are robots. Like, I never thought they have feelings or emotions. But now that I'm grown up, I'm like, okay, now I get it.
Yeah,
now
I think part of that transition that you talk about in terms of going from fearing to respecting your parents is like you said, acknowledging their humanity.
Yeah.
And then also understanding, I think, that some of that fear-mongering or some of that discipline, well, excessive discipline that they were putting on you is a manifestation of their own, like you said, traumas, but also a lot of their own like stresses and insecurities as parents as well. Like if you as a parent maybe don't have the background or the language or the depth to talk to your children about the issue at hand, you're just going to take the easier route, which is just to discipline them. And it's just, it's very, I think it's very hard. And I think the same thing has happened with me where it's like now my dad, like I love my dad so much. He's such a, in my head, I'm just like, he's such a softy, but it's, you know, 10-year-old, 15-year-old me was like, this man is hard. And like, I think about the times when he was most harshest in my life. I also think like those were the times when he was under the most amount of stress, like at work, in like personal life, like was most unhealthy. And then as soon as he started, you know, changing his health habits and changed his job role completely into something way less stressful, he changed himself as well and became way more approachable. So it's really interesting when you see and watch the transition in your parents as they change and morph their parenting style as their capacity increases as well.
Yeah, and I feel like even our parents, us, like our generations are very different in the sense where like our parents, I don't think, I'm speaking from my parents, they were not brought up in an environment where or we are talking, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the sense you're like, oh, you've done something wrong, let's have a conversation about it. So then I feel like their parenting styles come from their parents and like they transfer that to us, but not because us, we are growing up in a generation where people are encouraging more communication other than violence. Like I feel like we are victims of violence, like because like the way like my parents hit me, but because we're in a generation where they're encouraging more communication, especially with their kids, and like they're talking more about mental health. I feel like now it's good. That's how we are able to understand where our parents come from.
Yeah, you can't like do something that you've never seen before.
And
I think even though like I guess we're learning parenting skills from our parents who have learned from their parents. I think now that we have like social media and we can have like so much access to so what's happening around the world that we can kind of pick up different styles and see what we want. I think also we're more, I guess, more open-minded to all those things now as well, which is really good.
That's a very good point. What about you?
My thing is one of those things where it wasn't like that when I was young and then it sort of transitioned. It's, I wish my parents, when I was younger, didn't put so much pressure on me to compare myself to others. And it is so hilarious to me because, you know, when I was younger, my parents would always be like, you know, compare yourself to your classmates, compare yourself to your family members, compare yourself to people at church and people around and all that kind of stuff. And now, like the older, now that I guess I'm, well, not I guess, I am an adult, like my parents don't do that at all to me anymore. They're very much like, you do you, you're in your own race, like life is not a competition. Sometimes they do, you know, have lapses or whatever, but for the most part, they're very much like, okay, I'm fine with me being on my own journey. And so now that I'm seeing them be like that, I'm like, I wish you just started me off in life like that. Just said, you know, it's so fine. Like you are going to be who you are and you're going to accomplish what you're going to accomplish. And we're not going to make that statement, look what this person is doing instead. So I mean, I guess now that I'm thinking about it, it really does go back to, you know, the changes in parenting and I guess changes as they get better at it and as they find language to talk to you. Like if your parent is an adult, they're going to be, most of the time they are, they're going to be able to communicate with you best as in adult, when you're in adulthood, versus when you're a child and they have to try and, you know, boil down these big concepts and big issues in life to childlike language, and sometimes they just don't get that right. Yeah. So, yeah.
No, I agree with that. My parents, my dad used to tell me, if I fail, or it's like the person who passed this exam was, did he have two heads?
Always.
Or did he have two
yes,
heads?
Maybe he did.
Yeah, always comparing you with someone else. And I feel like that affects us as we grow up, probably. I'm speaking for myself in the sense where, like, sometimes you don't intend on competing with other people. Like, it's not your intention. However, like, sometimes there's a time I was feeling really down because I was like, oh my God, I'm being left behind because you see your peers doing this and doing that and doing that. And you're probably on a stagnant phase of your life. So it, like, makes you feel like, because you have that mentality, oh my God, like, this one is doing this, this one is doing this. Does he have, like, three heads, or does he have, like, what does he have that I don't have? So sometimes it's not your intention to compare yourself, but I just, like, find myself doing that. But I'm trying to remove myself from that space because it puts you down sometimes, like, especially when you look at what other people are doing. So, like, I try and remind myself that you're in your own journey, so that you don't, like, get conflicted and just try and, like, that's a very good point. Do you guys have something to add on that?
Did you say your one?
Oh, no, not yet.
She said, do you have anything to add to my one?
No, I think everything that you said is spot on. I mean, I think it is human nature to compare, and it makes it equally more difficult when you have the parental or the authoritative figures in your life also making you aware of where other people are at or what they feel like you should be doing. Yeah. I think that's also another thing, like when parents, even in love, impose their desires and their beliefs or their worldview onto you. And when you're struggling to sort of come into your own and figure out, like, your place in the world and what it is that is true to you, it's very difficult to grapple with that expectation and also, like, what it is that you feel in your heart is right. But I think that's definitely also a great part of growing up and coming into your own and understanding that, yes, that might work for that person and that's fine, but it might not necessarily work for me in that same way either.
No, that's true. All right, for my point is I wish my parents taught me about finances.
Oh, that was another one I was gonna say. Yeah,
because, like, for me, okay, I haven't grown up in an environment where I was working, you know. I feel like I've come to know about finances when I came to Australia and I started working. So, like, for example, I never knew about managing finances. I never knew about saving. Like, because, you know, when you're back home, you don't do, like, work, but at the end of the week, your parents give you money.
Yeah.
Just to, like, keep you.
That sounds sweet.
Yeah, just to keep you, like, you flight. Just ask for fare.
Yeah.
Or you ask for, you ask for money and your parents just give it to you. Yeah. So, like, yeah, I never knew about saving. And it's been such a struggle for me to be able to say, because I get excited, you know, especially like when I first came to Australia and I started my first job. I was like, oh my God, like, I'm getting money now. So, like, I buy everything. I never understood the concept of saving. I wish, like, my parents had taught me that. So, because, like, it would have helped me so much, because I never saw, they do save, but I never saw it, you know, or I never understood it.
Well, there was never a conversation, right?
Yeah,
where it's
never.
Like, this is how you should set out your finances.
They're just like, oh, you make money, use your money wisely. But I'm like, okay,
what's wisely?
I am. I'm buying the necklace I wanted.
Yeah,
that's wise.
I've got nice things.
My parents never, I wish they told me about finances and how to manage my finances. Also, like, I feel like I've struggled also a bit when it came to after graduating, getting in the industry that you're working in. There's a bit of imposter syndrome because sometimes I'm like, I don't feel like, even sometimes I'm like, okay, why did you hire me? Because I feel like I'm so, I'm like, it's like you don't feel like you're supposed to be there or like getting the money that you're getting at that particular moment. So yeah, I feel like that's what was my main one. I feel like my parents, I wish they told me more about that, because if you're telling me I'm 25 now and it's something that now I'm learning and unlearning, trying to put my finances together, I don't know about investments. I don't know about like stocks or shares. Like this is something that you're coming to learn now. And I feel like a lot of rich people, like this is something that they instill in their kids when they are younger. Totally. That's why you find someone who's 17 or 18, they're talking about like Bitcoin or whatever. Yeah. They already know about these things compared to like people who haven't gotten that like knowledge when they are a bit younger. So I feel like that's one thing I wish my parents taught me about when I was younger. Yeah.
Absolutely. Fair. I think that's a very, very, a spot where a lot of parents, I don't want to say fail their kids, but I think do a disservice to their children by not having those open and honest conversations. And there's obviously a range of reasons why that could be. Maybe your parents' finances are not in order and they're not in the position to actually give you good, sound advice. Maybe they just came to it intuitively and thought, you too will come to it intuitively. I'm sure there's a lot of different reasons. I think my parents, I've always seen them, there's obviously been stages in terms of financial stability and that kind of stuff. My parents were one of the camp where they're like, spend wisely, use your money wisely, but also come to it a little bit intuitively and we will guide you where you want guidance. But we will not impose it upon you, like impose anything upon you. So, I came to financial literacy, a lot through like my friends and seeing what they were doing and how they were structuring their money, as well as through online, online resources, YouTube, seeing what people were saying. Yeah. And I'm very thankful that my parents, like when I was younger, they never indulged me in things. So when I came of age and was spending money, I didn't go into adulthood indulging myself either, even when I was starting to make money, I wasn't making a lot of money. I was working at McDonald's. Yeah. So I wasn't making a lot of money, but I just never really felt the need to indulge, because I wasn't like, I was always like the kid that was like, mommy, give it to me, give this to me. And they would like, not, because they were like, that's not why. It's like, what do you need a toy for when, you know, like that's not in the budget. And so I've always had the terminology. It just wasn't really like expressly said to me. So I wish we had had a sit down conversation when I first got my very first job at 15, and they were like, save this. The only thing I remember them saying is that when I first got my job is that make sure you put 10% away for tithes. No. That's the only thing that said to me, like, you've got to give tithes. So that was something that I've always had. But like everything else, they're like, do you boo?
Like a different in a sense. Yeah, like now my parents are a bit different, because now I wasn't like, I didn't hear the word no a lot of times, because my parents, like, I don't know, they're just they just give you whatever you want, especially because I wasn't a very outgoing kid. So like, I'm in the house and like my dad was just not the kind of person who like would let you go out and play or do everything. So it's like, you have everything here, so you don't need to be going out and doing your own thing. So like, that's the thing. So I never, even like church stuff, I didn't go to a lot of church activities. Like, I've come to see when I came here in Australia, like there's a lot of like, especially the African community, a lot of church activities and a lot of like community there. But I didn't grow up with that, because my mom is a Christian, but my dad is he believes in whatever he believes in, you know what I mean? He's not like a Christian. He's a good man, but he's not a Christian, you know? So like, I never really went to, like, I went to church because of my mom, but it wasn't something that was really instilled in me. So, like, when you say 10% for tithe, I was never told something like that, you know? So it's very different. Like, I feel like how we, like, people are raised, it's just different. And it's really interesting to see.
Really interesting. Yeah.
But yeah, Evelyn, do you have your next point?
Next one. Oh, I have to keep going.
Yeah.
What's another one? I'm kind of in two minds about this one because I'm like, did I want them to actually teach me this? But it was more so because I'm just thinking, like, for me, like, I'm thinking about relationships.
Mm. I had that point too.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So I stole it. Sorry.
It's okay.
So I kind of just wish that they, I guess, told me like their stories, I guess, when it comes to relationships, so that I didn't have to go through, like, I probably would have gone through heartbreak anyway, because you always learn things on your own anyway, and they're not going to tell you every single detail. But I feel like if they were more open to relationships and even at a young age, because they just say, don't be in a relationship, and it kind of just ends there, even though obviously you're going to, like, see boys, you know. Whoever you like, you're gonna see them and be like, oh yeah, I'm interested, or you might start dating or something like that. So I wish they told me their story, so then when I go into it, I'm kind of like, know what to watch out for, or if I see some things that I've heard from their story, I can kind of, you know, navigate it in this way. And also, if they bring up conversations like that, when I did get into a relationship, I would feel comfortable to come and talk to them about it, even if it was something that they haven't told me about before. I could be like, mom, this is what's happening right now. What do you think? And kind of go from there. Like, I think open conversations around relationship could have saved a lot of people from heartbreak.
Hurt.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think definitely having more, a more thorough understanding of like what their lives were like in that sense, romance-wise, when they were younger. Because, I mean, I'm thinking about my parents, especially particularly my mom. Like, she has definitely shared stories, but the way that she would share them wasn't like there's antidotal. She's like, just like, yeah, like there was this guy and this happened and da-da-da, but not like, this is how I felt in this situation, or this is when I was like heartbroken, or this is like how I dealt with it. So although I've always felt like I could go to her and say she's always known if I was talking to someone or if I was dating someone, but it's always been quite surface level. Like, it's never, like, this person hurt me in this way, or this, I'm struggling with this, or like, how do I navigate that, you know? And I know that if I wanted to have those in-depth conversations, I could have them with her, but because it was never set up like that, my first impulse isn't to be like, mom, like, I'm really, really upset. I'm really, really anxious about this situation. So I think, definitely, like, that aspect would have been so helpful.
Because you experience it now as well, and you're like, when you're in relationships as you're older, and having those conversations with your mom or your mostly mom about those things, it feels so good to kind of let it out and cry and do all that stuff. And I'm like, I wish I would have, like,
had that
when I was younger, instead of just crying by yourself.
Like, that's true, because like, when I was younger, my parents said, like, no boys.
Literally, no boys.
And then now when I'm past 18, you know, the mom was like, so where's the boyfriend?
You, your husband. Wow. Like,
18 is so young.
18 is young. Mine was 25. And then my mom was like, so, sweetie, are you getting married tomorrow?
Oh,
like,
wow. Really? Yeah. I feel like my mom is a funny one, because my mom, like, now that, like, I feel like the distance between us has really brought us closer compared to when I was at home. Because when I was at home, these conversations really didn't happen. And I honestly didn't get the opportunity to date a lot of people, because I was in boarding school the whole time. So, like, now that I'm here, now, like, because my current partner, my mom is invested in the relationship now. So, like, so, like, she's like, okay, so, like, what is happening here? Like, what is this? But I'm like, I wish we had that relationship when we were together back home, because it would have made me feel like, okay, like, before I've been in relationships here that were not really that nice. But, and I was like, I wish I was able to tell my mom. But every time you want to tell your mom, you're like, oh my God, I don't even know what my mom will think about this situation. Or, like, will she be angry at me for even being in a relationship, or like, I just didn't know how to navigate that. And also, to add to your point, I was thinking, I wish my parents talked about sex more, because I was like, it's something that people do, you know, it's something that, like, it's something I know, like, there's abstinence and stuff, but to the reality of life is, people engage in sex. And I wish my parents honestly, they feel like the only thing they've ever told me was just make sure you use a condom if you need to have sex. Mm-hmm. That's what
if you need to have sex.
If you need to. Only if you need.
Yeah.
Not if you want.
Yeah. My parents were like, don't do it. But if you feel like you can't. I remember I had gone back home and my parents are like, okay, you're a grown up and I understand. So I am not encouraging it, but if you feel like...
That's a lot more than
most African parents.
That's true.
My parents, like, if you feel like you really have to make it, please, just to be... Use a condom.
Be safe.
Yeah. Use a condom. That's what my parents told me. Because I feel like it's not even because they... I'm not saying this because I think they didn't care about my sexual health or that. Mm. But it's just because, like, you know, parents back home, they're like, I've brought you all the way to Australia. Yeah. And then you come back home, like, with the baby.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, I feel like they always think about embarrassment, what will people say, and, like, stuff like that. It's not even about my sexual health or anything.
No.
Yeah. But I think I wish that's something that we learned a bit more, like, when we are a bit older, like, younger, like, contraceptive.
Yeah.
Not that we encourage it, but
just more
you know about it, you know what I mean?
More open and honest conversations about the topic in general, like spectrums. And obviously it's very, again, that's one of those things where it depends on the worldview of your parent, depends on their perspective, beliefs and all that kind of stuff. But I think also it does a disservice to children where they're not given the opportunity to learn about the range of options available to them from their parents, because they will learn it somewhere else. Like, you'll learn it from your friends, you'll learn it from social media, you'll learn it from TV shows. So most children come into young adulthood with a very strong sense of sex, of sexuality, all that kind of stuff anyway. And my perspective is that, do you want it to come from you as their parents?
Yeah.
In a very nuanced, very realistic way, or do you want it to come from their friend at school who's, you know, doing XYZ already, or who's not doing XYZ and they don't have any nuance to their thoughts? So I think, I totally agree. Like, I wish I'd had the conversation or the opportunity to have more open, honest conversations with my parents about all of that sexuality, sex, relationships, all that kind of stuff from a younger age.
Yeah.
I think now I'm at the point where I can have more open conversations with them, but like Oga was saying, I think it's sort of past where that would be my natural instinct to go tell my mom or my dad, like, this is what I'm going through, like, give me advice on it, tell me like what your thoughts are, or, you know, I want your opinion on it in the first place. It's past that point now. So
I feel like with me it's different, because now, like, because I'm here, my mom now, I don't know, I feel like she is more intense in the sense where, like, it's the only way she can be there for me now. Because, you know, at least when you have your parents here, you have the option of just going to their house and talking to them. And they are very accessible.
Yeah.
But, like, with me, now my mom asks me the most weird questions. Like, she's like, okay, so is this happening? Is this happening?
She about wants sex?
Yeah. She, oh, wow. My, like, I feel like she's become more liberal, like, as I've become more older, like, she's more open-minded, I could say. Like, she's more open-minded because my mom is just like...
Maybe she's just showing that part of herself to you now.
Maybe
she was always open-minded.
Yeah,
she's
my,
like,
mom has always been a baby girl. She was always she was always the mom who came dressed up in heels and like she's a very like sassy mom. But she never showed me that part. Like, I don't know why. Until like right now. Now she's like, do you do this? Like, yeah, make sure you're safe. Make sure you're this and this and this. Just because like it's the like. I don't know if she's trying to find a way where we can communicate better and maybe grow
and
our relation. Yeah, and connect better. Because I haven't seen her in 6 years. Oh. You know
what? I mean? Sorry, you haven't seen her in person in 6 years.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen my mom in 6 years.
Since you've been here, you've not gone home.
I went home. I came. I have been here for 7 years. So I went home once, and then after that, I didn't see my mom.
Wow.
But she was supposed to come this year, but the flight tickets are crazy right now.
Yes.
Like $4,000 for like a one way. So she's
one
like,
way.
Not one way. I mean, like
return.
To come.
Okay,
yeah. Like, and like right now, like my brother is also in Australia, and the school fees is so expensive. Yeah. So it's a matter of what's important at this particular point. So I feel like she tries her best to call me every day, connect with me. How's your boyfriend? What is he doing? What is he doing? Have you seen him? Yeah, like so they think she tries her best to like connect with you in every sort of way. But my dad doesn't really ask me those questions. But he knows. He's like, oh, make sure. The only thing my dad usually tells me is like, make sure the man that you're with is not an animal, you know? And make sure he's not hitting you. If he does touch you, make sure. Because I feel like now my dad is like, you're a queen, you know? You
love know that.
You're supposed to be treated nicely. Never let anyone touch you. I feel like that's really something that he never told me when I was home. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm here, now I'm hearing this, like, that conversation with my parents as well. So it's been a bit different since I was here.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, do you have your next point again?
My next point, I would say another thing that I wish they had maybe explored more, talked about more, was encouraging me as a young person to explore more things. Like, I think a lot of parents have a very linear way of like looking at how to grow and like what's next. And so like as soon as you finish high school, it's like, okay, you should already know what you want to do. Go to uni, da 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 da. And I remember when I was in year 12 and I was like trying to figure out what I wanted to do, had no idea. And I was like sort of flirting with the idea of a gap year. My parents actually were okay with it, but it was also like, okay, but what are you going to be doing? Like, what is the purpose? If you're going to do it, you have to have like A, B, C, D, E, F, G plan. You know, you can't just, but I think especially at that time, like that's when you should have the time to, if you have the means to travel or to like, even if you get a job and it's not in the field that you think you're going to stay in, like have those experiences that broaden your mindset, broaden your worldview, help you become a more well-rounded person as opposed to just getting straight into routine. Because there's, as I grow older, I realize there is so much time, like God willing, like there is so much time. And even when I look at my sister, my parents were very similar with her. They were like so freaked out about what she was going to do, when she's going to do it, when is she going to get a full-time job that's in the field that she wants to go into and blah, blah, blah. And I would say to them, relax, like she will get there in that time. She will. But also like stop putting so much pressure on her. She's so young. Mm-hmm. And I just, I wish that was encouraged more. Mm-hmm. I feel like that would have benefited me just in my development. Mm-hmm. Because now as I get older, I'm like, that's what I value more now than like trying to chase, you know, career progression, which I do still want. But I'm looking at, okay, what can I actually experience of life? How can I get that where I am now? How can I get to that in the future? But maybe if I'd had more of those experiences growing up, I would feel more like, okay, like I've done that. I feel like I've had lived life a bit more.
Because now you're like,
now I'm like
older. You're older and you're like, I've always done what I was supposed to do, but did I do what I wanted to do? And now there's so many instances where you're like, 100% I could have made this step and done this at 21.
Totally.
Yeah. And it wouldn't have had major consequences to life. Exactly. Now I'm 28, 29. Yeah. Like if I'm doing this, taking a year or two out of my life to live overseas or do X, Y, Z, quit my job, work something more chill, focus on something else. It's going to have significant consequences to the rest of your life.
Exactly.
I totally feel the same way.
Like I wish. People I admire, the people who work, let's say they work, you know the people who I admire, the people who can work, let's say, as a waitress for 5 months, save, go and travel.
All the money.
Yeah. Because if I ever did that, the guilt, or I don't know, I feel scared that my life is going to, like,
off the rails. Yeah. Like, I'm
but they're
the
so
thing.
Content because the value in traveling, the value in experiencing those things is worth more than, you know, buying a house by 21 or you know, having a degree, 3 degrees or 4 degrees, like the value there is so different. And that's why you have so many people who are in, you know, around our age who've experienced nothing because they've gone from like, maybe degree to degree. They've stayed at home. They've some of them have like gotten married at 21. Now they have 3 children and they're sitting here regretful that, like, you know, I wish I had done some things. I wish I had experienced things. And sooner or later, a lot of those desires that you've repressed will catch up with you.
Yeah. Exactly. Depression and like just sad. Yeah. You're like, oh my God, I wasted so much time.
Yeah.
You know, but I feel like with the traveling part, like I was just like, I really want to see the world. You know what I mean? But I feel like if I travel, oh my God, like I'm so scared that of being broke or like being like because our parents' success, like when you think about it from our personal experience, it's having money and it's having properties and it's having like there's no sense of like life.
A steady relationship.
Sorry.
Birthing kids, keep going.
Sorry. I was gonna say like off of that, like I think like if our parents gave us more of the opportunity to fail, because I think they just want so much security. And doing those things that like, okay, like finish school, go to uni, like it sets you up for to have a decent life, right? And you don't really fail in that.
Yeah.
But like if they gave us the more of the opportunity to travel and do all those things, there's an opportunity to fail. And I think that is the what scares them the most. Yeah. So I wish that they actually let us have that opportunity just
like,
to fail.
All the sacrifices that I've made.
Literally. And
I'm
that's,
like, did I tell you to make this sacrifice?
But that's the guilty part. That's why you oftentimes continue to do things the way your parents want you to do things, because it is true. Like, but for like, you know, but for them and the grace of God, like where would I be if my parents didn't invest in me? Like there's so many instances where your parents let you have a head start, maybe not a greater head start than some people, but your parents let you have a head start compared to others. And so it's you feel like a obligation to them. It's just
I know exactly how you feel, because I was talking to Roy and Tanya in my other episode, and like coming here to Australia, it's not a very, especially if your parents are back home, it's not an easy task. No. Like the school fees, because my parents have been paying my school fees all through, and now they're paying my parents' my brother's school fees all through. Okay. Like it's a very expensive, like a very expensive thing.
Yeah.
So like I don't know, sometimes I feel like I live in guilt, because it's not their intention, not at all, but my mom will be like, Maggie, but why are you not thinking about doing your master's degree? Because right now I have finished my undergrad and now I'm trying to see if I can work and like at least get my PR and citizenship before I do my master's, because it will save me so much money.
Absolutely.
But like my parents don't understand that. They're like, Maggie, why are you not doing your master's? You're wasting a lot of time. Like you should do this. And I'm like, I feel guilty. That's why like even going on a girls trip, or going, I don't remember the last time I actually went on a girls trip, because I'm constantly working. Like I literally work Monday to Saturday, because like I feel guilty if I'm not doing anything, in the sense where like if I sit home like this,
if you can't
I can't. Like I have to be doing something, just because it's been instilled with me like I need to keep on working and working and just doing
that's this. A trauma response.
And it makes me sad sometimes, because I'm like, I don't want, I know it's not my parents' intentions, because I know it's coming out of a place of love and like they just want their best, but I feel like the way they put it, it makes us feel like, oh my God, I was coming to Australia like a mistake, because it's making me feel a lot of pressure in my life that I don't think I need at this at this age. So like that's the thing for me. Like I understand when you say like my parent, my dad, you know, my dad is an aeronautical engineer in the military, so in the Air Force. So his intention was, I come and do my degree, and when I'm in Australia, I try and find a way to become like, to join like the cadet or join like something like that
in Australia.
And I was like, are you serious? Like honestly, like what type of human being?
Be for real.
Yeah, like what type of human being?
But you also don't you have to be a citizen to join the army?
Yeah, like he thinks like he wants me to be a replica of who he is. Like before I came here, I intentionally, like I was supposed to join the Air Force as a cadet in Kenya, but my mom refused. My mom, oh, thank God for my mom. She refused, because she was like, when you join the military, it gives you a very narrow mind. You just see that one way. So she was like, let me open up your mind, because at least when you and travel outside, you see how other people live and you see how other people think, and it will give you a lot of opportunities, and you understand different people and different cultures and stuff. I bless my mom, because if it wasn't for her, I'd probably be in the military and stuff. So like, yeah, he wants me to be a complete replica of him, but it's just like, I don't know if you think I'm a robot or you think I operate through like what. So it's difficult to make them understand that. Just let me go through my journey the way I'm supposed to go through. I understand that you've made sacrifices, but it is your obligation as my parent to do what's best for me, you know? Not in a bad way, but yeah, it's kind of your job. Yeah. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's I understand what you mean.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well.
Yeah, did you have another point?
Oh, it's my turn again.
Life comes at you quick.
I know, really. I wasn't even thinking about my one. I don't know. I think, I really like, sorry, I'm still thinking about your one about the different career paths. Well, maybe this is slightly different, but on the same vein that I wish my parents had told me earlier that there are a range of different career paths available.
Medicine.
Yep. Or engineering.
Accounting
as well. Hey. Yeah. At least they give you four options, right? Yeah. Like, you know, I wish when I was younger, they had just allowed me to explore and really, really give a chance to a broad range of careers and not biased my perception of different careers. Like the older through life circumstances, I realized that I had a lot of bias towards particular careers and be like, no, I don't do that. Like, that's not, that's not prestigious enough or that's not like I'm above that. I'm above doing that. And honestly, it took a lot of humbling of me through life circumstances to really figure out that, you know, there is no like guarantee in this life. Like, just because you really, really want to be something does not mean you're going to be it, right?
Yeah.
So you better be, or you should be open to be, to pivot, to adjust and to adapt. I think because of the experiences that I had earlier where I had one, like I want to be in medicine as well. Like I had one mindset about what career I wanted to pursue. Mm. And I was humbled there. I've become so much more adaptable now through that experience. Now there's nothing where I'd be like, no. Like where I am now is just a series of let me try this job. Let me try this job. Like, okay, this is not where I want to be, but this might be what I want to be. So let me put myself in positions to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful for it because through those experiences, I am where I am now. Yeah. And I just, I like the life that I live now and the job that I do now is so much easier than if I had ever gone into medicine. And I don't think I would be as happy or even where I am now with a career in medicine. So,
Like, would you ever think that people would be making so much money from content creation or from like things like you don't need to do so much?
Yes.
The concept of, I think we've been instilled the concept of working hard, not working smart. So like if your parents is studying 8 subjects, wow, like
my daughter is doing well.
Doing very well.
But she's not sleeping, but she's doing well.
She's doing well. So I feel like the concept, I would probably teach my kids the concept of working smart. Like if you can get an opportunity here, you don't really necessarily, my boss right now, I love him so much, bless him. He teaches me like, you don't really need to do much to make so much
money. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. He's like, you have to know where to put your energy in.
Yes, wow, I love that.
You don't really need to be doing 20, you work and grind and grind and grind to make so much money. No, because I feel like in your head, you're like me, if I don't do 20 things, I'm not working hard.
Yeah.
But you can sit on your, people sit on their like laptops and they've made like $10,000. Like, it's where you put your energy in, and like I feel like that's true.
We really need to change our mindset. I feel like I always think this about people who say, I'm so busy. I'm so busy. I have all these things that I'm doing. Yeah. And I actually think that that's not even a marker of something to be proud of. It's something to actually assess and say, you're working inefficiently.
Yeah.
If you're so excessively busy that you're run down, then you are not utilizing the appropriate resources, you're not using your time well, or you haven't delegated the way you should be delegating. Because yes, you should feel accomplished in your work and you should feel like a sense of, I'm doing well for myself. But if you're feeling run down, like I'm working excessively hard in a job, then you need to really think about, what am I doing? Like, why is this so effortful?
Yeah.
Totally.
True. I have a point here where I said, I wish my parents taught us more about, this is funny, but like friendships in the sense where like, to me, okay, my parents, I didn't see them with a lot of friends. You know what I mean? Like, let's say like,
they were each other's best friends.
Yeah, like even now, my mom is like, "Oh, your dad is my everything. He's my friend. Aww. He's my this. He's my that." Yeah. But I've never seen like my parents are not. You know how people like this family goes to this family to say hi.
Yes.
Like,
oh no, really?
No.
Oh.
Maybe if it's family. Let's say for example, where your cousins are coming to your house. That's fine. You know what I mean? But actually, intentionally going to be friends with other people.
Yeah, okay.
Wow, no. Okay.
No, like, because as I said, my dad wasn't a church going man. Mm. So, like,
a lot of the community comes through that kind of stuff, like
through church or stuff, or like at work, he has his friends who are in the military. They have the same mindset, you know what I mean? So it doesn't change anything. Right now is when my mom is getting more, because not all of her kids are here. So she really doesn't have like much to do, you know what I mean? So right now is when I see her going to church with like community women. I'm like, I'm so surprised because it's a foreign concept to me. You know how like, oh, my mom is like, oh, we are going to do Bible study. I'm like, what? Okay. And then she's decided to go back to school to do psychology.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, so it's
different. Like, I wasn't like seeing my dad right now. The only friend he has is that one man. Like that one uncle you see he doesn't have friends, right. You know what I mean? So when that he's called, like when my uncle is not available, my dad is just at home watching TV or like just sitting down, like he doesn't have friends, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I brought this up because I was talking to my mom the other day. She was like, Maggie, now I know the importance of actually having friends.
Yeah.
You know, having a community of people around you, you know, like people you can pray with, people you can talk to, you know, when you have a problem. I can talk to your dad, but he has one opinion, one mentality.
Yes.
So who else can I talk to to get a different perspective?
Mm.
And I realized that seeped through me because I'm not a very... it's not that I'm not friendly, but I do not intentionally put myself out there to make friends. It's been a struggle for me here in Australia just because I admire my brother right now. He's younger than me. He's just turned 20. He's very
sociable
because my parents gave him that, like, I don't know, he was allowed to do more stuff, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So me, what him, he has come, he has so many friends, you know what I mean? But me, I don't really, like, if you don't talk to me, I won't talk to you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or, like, I don't know, like, how to intentionally go and make friends. And now when every time I call my mom, she's like, go, put yourself out there. Mm. I'm like, what do you want me to do? To go
on the street?
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Conversation.
Yeah.
It's hard.
So how you doing?
Like,
I love people that can do that, though.
Yeah,
honestly,
I admire them so much.
I really do admire them. It's not easy.
By the time I got to call you girls, I was like, oh, like it took me a while. I was like, oh my god, so how am I like going to navigate through this? And then my friend Aquia was like, you know, just send the message, you know? Yeah, because I can't go any. I don't know. I get social anxiety in the sense that, like, I can't go anywhere if I don't know. Like, if I don't have someone that I'm close to, like, even parties or anything, I have to have my friend Akuya, or like, if my partner's there, I'll be fine, or if someone that I know is there, otherwise, I won't go, I'll stay home. So, like, I feel like the concept of intentionally going to make friends, because as you grow up as an adult, it's harder to make friends compared to when you're younger.
Yeah.
So, I feel like that's something that I wish, like, for me, it was better, because now, like, as an adult, I struggle a lot when it comes to social settings.
Mm.
And people sometimes think, oh, she's a snob, or she's a this, or she's a this. And it's just because, like, I really can't come and talk to you because I don't know what your reaction will be to me.
Mm.
But right now, I'm learning that you just go say hi. The worst thing that the person can say is, I don't want to talk to you. And it's cool.
Or like, not say anything.
Most of the time, they will just say hi, whether the conversation continues, they hold different stories. story.
Hi, how are you? Yeah. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
But that's one thing I really like want to do more. Make more friends. Talk to more people. Like have girlfriends. You know what I mean? Mm. Like that's something that I really want. Because if I go back home today, the only friends that I have are my cousins. I don't really have a lot of friends.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, okay, I was really like sheltered in a sense, but now we are doing better. We are learning and we are growing, and I feel like that's something that I've come to learn.
Yeah, and I totally like agree with what you're saying. Like, I think more so for me, it wasn't like my parents weren't talking about friendship. It was more like they were projecting like their hurt that they've experienced in friendship. So that's why they're like, okay, you can't trust the people. Yeah. You can't do that. You can't do all this stuff. When it comes to friendship, like you have to be careful. You have to do all that stuff. So then I continued in that way, like when it came to friendship, like I needed to make sure I'm protecting myself because eventually, like, they're going to hurt me, you know, they're going to upset me in some sort of way. So like the only people that I can really rely on is like family. Yeah.
You can only rely on your family. Yeah. Nobody else. You know what I mean?
But we're meant to do life in community anyway. Yeah. Like we're supposed to have different relationships. It's not only supposed to be your family.
Yeah.
And that's what like, I guess I feel like I'm always the one that's like to my mom, no, you don't know things about friendship.
Yeah. You don't know what you're talking about, girl.
Yeah. I'm the one that's like, no, friendship is important. Yeah. Like, it's good to have different relationships. Yeah. Like, and I feel like I'm, as I'm getting older as well, I'm slowly learning that, like, it's good to have, I don't want, like, millions of friends, like I don't want that. Like,
just that core.
Yeah, and that's all I ever need. Like, I feel like when I was younger, I did have, I had a lot of friends when I was younger, but like I feel like now that I'm as I was getting older, like my friendship group like became so much smaller. And that's all I need. I feel so content in that, like just having a small close friendship and that's it. And like obviously you have other like acquaintances and stuff like that, but yeah, I think that's the most important. And I feel like with you, like what you're saying, like with going out and like making friends and stuff, that's something that I struggle with as well. And I think like I always used to say, oh, I'm so bad at making friends, but you know what, I think once the person starts talking to me, like we're good. I'm good at making a friendship, like once that happens. But it's just more so like that initial conversation that I struggle with. So I'm not like a bad friend, or I'm not good at making friends or stuff like that. It's more so that the first part of it is the hard part.
It's also very like instant when you connect with someone, but like I feel like also like in this like day when we are grown ups and we are all working and we're all doing, I've realized that with friendships you have to intentionally say, okay, today I'm gonna give up or get a phone call and you're gonna talk, you know, or give someone a phone call, you know, because like let's say for example you all get caught up in work, if you don't intentionally give your time to your friends, especially me now, like my friends here like are my family, so I have to call them totally. So like I'm like it's really like important and I really appreciate, like, you know what I mean, that like I would want to be able to be more outgoing and stuff.
Even with that, like my parents, like growing up, they always encourage friendship. Like we would go to their friends' houses like on a Sunday and visit and all of that stuff. And even with my friendships, they always encourage me to go over to somebody's house, or they come over to my house, whatever. So I grew up with that. But I think definitely what I'm seeing with them and how they do friendships, and even as I grow older, it's like the maintenance piece as well. It's like you can have all these relationships and you can cultivate them, but you can't rely on the fact that I was intentional, now we've got the friendship. If you're not maintaining it, then it doesn't matter. Like it doesn't matter how intentional, I mean obviously part of maintenance is being intentional, but once you have those friendships and once you've put in the effort to create them, if you're not making the strides to maintain the strength of those relationships, then they just sort of, you still have them. Like I look at my parents and the friends that they do have and they've kept in contact with, and you know, life happens. Like you can't, obviously everybody doesn't have the same amount of time that you know we did back then, but the nature of those friendships has definitely changed. And I think once it gets set in stone like that, that just becomes the tone of the relationship. Like I think about all those people that I grew up with, like do my parents, my parents would say they're friends, obviously, and if we were doing something, they'd invite them and vice versa. But it's like, but where's your actual community? Like outside of
my parents' relationship. Like, yeah, who are you like going out to dinner with? And yeah. who are you like just going over to their place just because like you talk on the phone, great, you catch up on Facebook, whatever. But even as you get older, I personally still feel like having that like physical community is still very important. And so that's something that like I was actually talking to my mum about the other day. I was asking her about a friend. She's like, yeah, we're still friends. We still talk and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, my sister was like, are you going to go and visit her? And my mom's like, no, like, why would I go and visit her? I'm like, yeah. What do you mean? Like, that's your friend.
Like, I feel like they do friendships so different. Very different. Like, they can talk on the phone for a million years.
Yeah.
Well, they don't necessarily go to dinner. Or yeah.
My point is like my parents used to have that sort of relationship with certain people. Mm-hmm. And now it's like they don't. And look, I don't know the ins and outs of why, but I do feel like that has definitely changed because of whatever. But now that's just what it is now. Yeah. And it's just kept like that.
Yeah.
When it might not have to be that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's, yeah.
Yeah. Does anyone have any other points?
I don't.
No, actually. I don't.
No.
I feel like I have one more point.
Oh, okay. It's a
more generalized thing. I wish like our parents told us how hard adulting is. Like,
I think they tried.
Yeah, like I feel like
when I was going to wash the dishes and hang out the clothes. The dishes?
Would you don't do this?
To do that, but yeah. I wanted to so badly because I thought it would be fun.
So or like the importance of things like sleeping. Like right now as an adult, like I look forward to just coming from work and sleeping, things that I took for granted, or like I didn't know about how many bills that we have to pay.
Oh my gosh.
You know, sometimes like I saw my parents pay bills, but I didn't really realize that, oh, it's actually like
money.
Yeah. And then like
when you were being frivolous with the electricity or whatever, you didn't realize, whoa, someone's paying for this.
And they reminded you though. Yeah. Like they didn't say, when your lights are on or the aircon's on, they always had to say,
turn off the light. The aircon is a big one. Why is the aircon on? Because it's 40 degrees.
And the bills come together. Like, they come with electricity, water. Facts. I'm like, Jesus. Like, I didn't know all about it. I was just like, adulting is such a hard... It's a constant. Yeah, it's very constant, and it's something that I feel like we have to find a balance to navigate, or else you'll go crazy thinking about it. So I was like, yeah, I feel like I wish we talked about adulting more, because I was so like, oh, mommy, this, and this. You don't really know what they're actually going through to keep the lights on, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So waking up at 5 in the morning, if you don't wake up, you might be fired, or you might lose your job, you might this and this. Like, it's not as easy as we see them do it. So, like, I'm very grateful that our parents really still worked hard to keep us or give us the opportunities that we have.
Yeah.
Even in their time, it's not easy now, but at least we have a bit more opportunities compared to, like, what our parents did. So, like, I'm like, yeah, I'm grateful that you actually did all of this. And, yeah, thank God. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Thank you, God. Thank you, parents.
Yeah, no, they did their best.
They really did.
It's been a very exciting episode. Thank you, guys. I've not had, like, it's been a good episode. And as I said, I think we've talked about things that are really deep, you know what I mean? And I'm very happy to have you girls here. Hopefully you'll come for another episode.
Of course. Yes. Just invite us.
Yeah. I'm so grateful for you guys. And thank you guys so much for listening. I will catch you guys in episode 11. And we usually say bye together. Okay. So bye. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much, girls.